Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Through the Bible, we're going from Genesis to Revelation. It is a great run. You know, when you do it chronologically, it makes a lot of more sense. Like, well, when did this happen? Well, why did this happen? Because if you read the Bible the way it's printed, because it's printed largest book to the shortest book, all of a sudden you realize, like, well, how did we get in this story? I thought we'd already covered this. No, it's not written in the right order. And they printed it because longest book to the shortest book, but it's not. People said, well, I didn't know that. Yeah, most people don't. So today we're picking up with the story of Moses. God's getting ready to send him a deliverer. You know, they've gone through and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So we're in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. So, baby's been born. Children of Israel have been in the promised land. And so, they were blessed, you know, for three generations because they had the country Pharaoh, but the city Pharaohs took back over. And now we got a mess on our hands. And so, they don't like them and they're trying to kill them off. And so, they're making them slaves and they're making bricks, stomping in the mud, a lot like the movie showed when the movie came out. But this is the story of God. Israel cried out, God sent us a deliverer. And so we had a woman get pregnant. 9 months later, she has a baby. 2 years later, they make a law to kill all the baby boys 2 years of age and under. And so she hides them in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter finds him and claims him for his own. And so that's where the story begins. Well, 40 years later, Moses is raised up in Pharaoh's court and been educated in the best school, the best technology. He's learned the best things of war. I mean, he is one ready-made man, possibly ready to take over Pharaoh for himself, because Pharaoh had a lot like the movie. There are other sons, but he really liked Moses. Moses was a very good man. So Moses becomes a shepherd. 40 years into it, he kills somebody. He runs off to the wilderness for his life. So that's where we're going to pick up. We're in Exodus chapter 2, if you're reading your Bible, starting around verse 11. Now, when the boy Moses grew into manhood, he did not forget his own people, the Israelites. Whenever he left the beautiful palace, he saw his people being mistreated by the taskmasters. They were being beaten and whipped. He's saying, man, what can I do? I got to be able to do something. We can't tolerate this. Well, in his heart, he believed that God had saved his life as a baby so he could help his people. So he longed for that time to come. He despised the riches of Egypt when he saw the hardships and the poverty of the Israelites. He despised Egyptian worship of the sun god and the Nile River. So one day, when Moses was with the Israelites, he did wrong. He came to one place, and he saw the Egyptian beating an Israelite. How mad he got. He had seen the Egyptians beating the poor Israelites too often. Moses couldn't stand it anymore. Well, he killed the Egyptian, and he buried him in the sand. Surely the Israelite understood that Moses was trying to help him. The next day, Moses saw two Israelites quarrel and begin to fight. Stepping in between, he said, why are you so unkind to each other? One answered crossly, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he was afraid. Didn't the people know how much he loved him, how he longed to help him? Now, Pharaoh would probably want to kill him, so he's got to find a place to hide. Perhaps he would be safe in the wilderness. After a long, tiresome journey across the desert, Moses came to a well. Here he sat down to rest. Soon, seven young women came up to draw water for their father's flocks. They were sheep herders. As they watered the sheep, other shepherds came and tried to drive their sheep away. This happened many times before, but this time Moses was there to help. When the sisters returned home with the flocks, the father asked, why are you home so early today? Well, they replied, we met a stranger at the well, and he helped us when the men tried to drive away our sheep. Where's the stranger at? The father said. Why don't you bring him with you? Go and invite him to eat with us tonight. When Moses came, the father said, my name's Jethro. I'm the priest of Midian. These are my daughters. As they talked, Jethro invited Moses to live among the people to care for his flocks. Later, one of Jethro's daughters became Moses' wife. For many years, Moses worked as a shepherd in the land of Midian because he was a stranger among the people of Midian. Moses named his first son Gershom, which means a stranger here. Now, that's an interesting thing. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we started having kids of our own, and I get married, names are very important. I want the name to mean something. I just want a fancy name or some name of some Hollywood actor. No, I want to have meaning in the name. Well, that's what they did throughout the Bible. He named his son Gershom, which means he's a stranger here. So changes were taking place in Egypt. The old Pharaoh had died. There's a new Pharaoh ruling. Daily, he oppressed the Israelites, made lives harder and more miserable than it ever been. Their hearts grew heavy. They groaned beneath the heavy burdens. In anguish, they cried to God, and God heard their prayers. Exodus chapter 3, story picks up. Moses looked much different now than the young man who had left Pharaoh. No longer did he wear a princely Egyptian robe. No, he wore a coarse mantle of a shepherd. In his land, it's a long shepherd's staff that he carried with him every day. Day after day, year after year, he cared for his father-in-law's sheep. During this time, the sun and the wind had tanned his face. His hands were dark. Years had whitened his hair. One day, Moses led his flock to a green pasture near the front of Mount Horeb. There he saw a flame of fire spring out of a bush. He watched, expecting the bush to become ashes. But the flame did not. It burned. It continually burned, but the bush did not burn up. What a strange sight, Moses thought. I got to take a closer look. As he started toward the bush, a voice called out from the flame. Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here I am. Do not come near the bush, he said. Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. Moses knew at once that God was speaking to him, for it was the custom for a person to move shoes when approaching a sacred place. Quickly, he stooped down and unfastened his sandals. Then he hid his face, for he was afraid to look at the flame again. I am the Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the voice said. I've seen the suffering of my people, the Israelites. I've heard their cries. I am come to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them into the land that I promised to their fathers. How glad Moses been. Good news. But the voice continued, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may lead my people out of Egypt. All of a sudden, Moses, he wondered, he asked the Lord, well, now who am I? God, who am I to lead my people out? That's too big a job for me to do. I will surely go with you, God said, and I will help you do it, answered the voice. You bring the Israelites to this mountain to worship me, you will know that I have been with you. Moses said, what if the Israelites have forgotten you? If they ask, who is God? What shall I say? God replied, you tell them that my name is I Am, the one who is always living. Tell them that I Am sent you to help them. Do not be afraid, Moses, for they will believe you. With the elders of your families, go to Pharaoh and tell him, our God, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now let us go 3 days' journey to the wilderness to worship him. Moses listened carefully. He heard God say, at first, the king will refuse to let you go. After I've shown my power in Egypt, he will send you out of the land. Still, Moses was afraid the people would not believe him. He said, how are they going to believe that you really sent me? So he asked God, give me a sign. God said, what's in your hand? He said, it's a rod, answered Moses. Throw it on the ground, God said. Moses obeyed, and the rod became a snake. When Moses saw the snake, he tried to get away from it. God said, don't be afraid. Take hold of its tail. Again, Moses obeyed. The snake became a rod once more. Then God told Moses, put your hand on your chest under your cloak and bring it out again. When Moses did this, his hand was white with leprosy. How afraid he was. But God said, put your hand in your chest again. Moses obeyed, and it became normal. This was the sign that God gave him to prove to the Israelites and Egyptians that God had sent Moses. If the people do not believe these signs, Moses was to take water from the river and pour it on the ground, and the water become blood. And that would be a third sign. Still, Moses felt unwilling to go. He said, God, you know, I can't speak well. You know, I'm slow to speak. Then the Lord reminded Moses, am I not the Lord who made man's mouth? Go and I'll teach you what to say. Moses pleaded again, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. The words you tell them, Aaron is already on his way to meet you, he said. At last, Moses was ready to go. He led his flock back to eat to his in-laws and said, "Let me return to my people in Egypt, where they're still, make sure they're still alive." And Jethro said, "Well, go in peace." So God spoke to Moses, "Return to Egypt, for those who wanted to kill you, they're all dead." So Moses took his wife, his sons, he started for Egypt. On the way, he met Aaron. Now, how glad the brothers were to see each other. Moses told all that God had said, and together the two brothers returned to Egypt. When they arrived, they gathered the elders together. Aaron told them what God had said to Moses, be the deliverer. When the people heard the words of the Lord, saw the signs, they believed and they were glad. Well, they bowed their heads and I thank God for hearing their prayers. Okay, we're moving in the right direction. We're going where we need to go. Well, verse chapter 5. One day a messenger told Pharaoh, "Two Israelites want to see you." The king said, "Well, bring them in." So the messenger returned with Moses and Aaron. They told Pharaoh, "The Lord God, the God of the Israelites, has said, 'Let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness.'" The Pharaoh answered, "Well, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I do not know the Lord. I will not let the Israelites leave the country and worship him." Moses and Aaron answered, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let his people go 3 days into the wilderness to worship him. If you refuse, there'll be sickness and death." Pharaoh only frowned and replied crossly, "What are you trying to take my people away, take them away from their work? Get back to work, both of you. Let the Israelites alone." With these words, he sent Moses and Aaron out of court. This time the Israelites were making bricks and building houses for the Egyptian rulers. To hold the clay together for the bricks, they used chopped straw. Now Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster, "Do not give the people straw to make any more bricks. Let them find their own straw. But be sure they make just as many bricks as before. That will keep them busy so they won't have to think about going away to worship God." Now the Israelites had more trouble than ever. Of course, they could not gather straw from the fields and still make as many bricks. Then the taskmasters beat them. The people told Moses and Aaron, "You promised to lead us out of Egypt. You're not only making it worse for you, you're creating more trouble." How sorry Moses was. He loved his people. He wanted to help them. Moses asked the Lord, "Why'd you send me to Pharaoh? He will not let the people go. He's making it more miserable for them." The Lord said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've heard the cries of my people. I will free them from the Egyptians." So Moses sent to encourage the people, but they felt so downhearted, they wouldn't listen to him. And God said, "Well, speak to Pharaoh again and show him the signs I've given you." But Moses answered, "If the people won't listen to me, surely Pharaoh's not going to listen to me." Moses was ready to give up because Pharaoh would not let the people go at once. He did not understand God's plan. So the Lord told Moses, "You will seem like a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet. Pharaoh will hear your words, even though he refuses to obey me." Moses took Aaron, was again wanted to talk to Pharaoh. Now Aaron had his hand on the rod of Moses, and he brought it from the wilderness. And Aaron threw the rod to the ground and became a snake. Pharaoh sent for these magicians. When they came, they threw their rods in the ground. They became snakes. But then Moses' rod ate their snakes. And so on the next morning, God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh again. This time, they met him on the bank of the river Nile. God had told them, Moses and Aaron were not afraid. They told the king, "The Lord our God has sent us to you again." Moses told Aaron to wave the rod over the river. The water became blood. Soon all the fish died, and a terrible odor filled the air. Aaron stretched his rod over the waters from the streams of Egypt, and then all the streams became blood. Pharaoh's magicians had brought him water in a stone jar, and that water turned to blood. Then the king returned to the palace. The Egyptians were alarmed. Everybody's terrified. Nowhere in all the land could they find a drop of good water. So the war's on. It's Moses and Aaron against Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh had Egyptians, magicians. They had people that do tricks, and there was demonic stuff going on everywhere. God knew what was going on. God knows there's nothing that God doesn't know. In your life, in my life, there's nothing that God does not know. He knows it all. He said he'll order our steps. He'll direct our paths. If God's in all truth, God is the God of detail. The Bible says, you know, the hairs of our head are numbered. I don't care what you think about that. The Bible says, and God can't lie, I have the hairs of your head numbered. The days of your life are numbered. I promise you certain things, but you need to use your faith to claim them. So I said, it's called faith. The Bible says, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't resist the devil. So all these stories in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation are stories of people who had an opportunity to believe God, had to believe things that miracles could happen, that God could deliver, that God could save, that he could bless in the midst of a messed up world where Satan is the temporary, John 10:10, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the temporary God on this planet. But God said, I've sent a deliverer. The Old Testament people look forward to it by faith. We look back on it by faith. God's good. He's good all the time. But every day you and I get up, we get a choice to today, I'm going to believe God. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today, God's going to order the steps of my family. He's going to surround us with divine favor. People are going to like us, not even know why. It's a thing of divine favor. Psalm 5:12. I prayed that over my kids all their life. Guys, you need to believe for favor. God promised it, but you got to claim it. So it's not just an automatic thing. So thank you for joining us today. We're going to pick this story up next time. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.